40-something years, hanging right off the top of my head. But I do know that every now and then still the devil comes and he says, how do you know? Amen. And I just tell him, I say, you know what? Because I spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Hallelujah. And if you don't believe me, hey, give me a few minutes and I'll just do it again right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad we got something we know about. Somebody asked a woman one time, a popular evangelist wife, said, how do you know you got saved? She said, I really don't remember when I got saved. I just know I did. Amen. But I can tell you the time. Yes. I can show you the place. Hallelujah. I can march you down Amarillo campgrounds under the old tabernacle. Yes. Amen. I can take you down there and show you just about on the front down there where they had the sawdust on the floor, where I was laying when the Holy Ghost came. Hallelujah. Amen. I've never forgotten that. Amen. You know what? I still like to experience it. I still like to pray through. And I still like to talk in tongues. I still like to worship. I still like to shout. I still like to praise the Lord. Amen. It's not something that he intended to happen one time. But I think he ought to do it every day. All day long. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody here tonight. We're glad you're here. Amen. We're real happy to have Pastor Jimmy Skiles with us tonight. Newly elected pastor in Gatesville, Texas, and his family. Brother Skiles, come leave us a word of testimony. Tell us good things going on in Gatesville.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. That's it. Praise the Lord, everybody. All right, isn't the Lord good to you? Did you have a good week thus far? You willing to have a good week the rest of the way? Oh, you're going to do all right then. Praise the Lord. Well, I love what I feel in the house tonight. Amen. We are enjoying the good music. And we didn't have no music Sunday. And I tell you what, you realize that how blessed you are when you visit a church that doesn't have no music. Isn't that right, Brother Lenny? Praise the Lord. But the Holy Ghost still the same. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Robert, my friend, good to see you. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad to have Robert here tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's a good friend of mine. We go back a long time, don't we? Flipping tacos at down Mexico way. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, glory. I was thinking, you know, Enoch and Noah, they had something in common. In the Word, it said that they walked with God. They walked with God. Praise the Lord. Enoch took him out of the world. Noah, the Lord took the world away from him. But they both walked with God. Amen. You know, that's all we have to do is just walk with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some will run, some will shout. Amen. But the majority of it is just going to walk. Praise the Lord. But we can still make it, though. Amen. Isn't that good to know that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to thank this church and all their prayers. And we have been having some good church in Gatesville. We had 62 Easter Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. We baptized one. Praise the Lord. Several prayed back through the Holy Ghost the past month and a half. We're just excited. And everybody in the town that we've talked to just been real receptive. And we've been making good relations with the people there. And we're looking for great things, Brother Grissom. Amen. And, just had a crying spirit come on me. Praise the Lord. I used to not ever cry. The Lord has a, he has a way to work that in a man. Amen. There's lots of people out there that need to know the truth. You know, I was telling our church here the other day that, you know, that we sometimes we come in, you know, and we shake people's hands when they come inside the sanctuary and we love them. But it's when they leave. We just, it seems like sometimes we just dispense. And, you know, I just don't believe that's the will of the Lord. Amen. We need to just help pull each other back into the church. Get out there. They'll never know it if we don't go out and teach it. And we don't go out and minister to people. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I do look for great things. And y'all, boy, y'all got a full house. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Like y'all are in revival. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just excited to be living for the Lord. That's all. Amen. There's nothing like living for the Lord. The Lord will carry you through any problem, any toil that comes down in your life. God will see you through it. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I had somebody come to me yesterday, and they was just so saddened because they knew of a 12-year-old boy that had a four-wheeler wreck, died, and he just came in my house. He lived across the street from me. Just come in my house, just crying. Just couldn't understand. I said, man, you'll never understand. I said, but that's why the Bible says that life is like a vapor. You know, you mash that iron, it's gone. I said, Rodney, we've had a couple of Bible studies. I think that's how come he came to my house. I said, man, I said, that's why you need to get with the Lord. You need to find your church to go to. I'm thankful for a church. Those times whenever, you know, what do you do without a church? Thank the Lord for a church. Yeah, there's something about the church, though. Church family. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. Amen. I'm looking forward to the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so great and God is so good. Oh, peace, peace. Wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love, I love your peace, your sweet peace, your wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Sing it one more time to the Lord, would you? Oh, I'm open to peace, peace. Wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the peace that passes all understanding? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Stand with me, please. We're going to the second epistle of the Apostle Peter. Second epistle of Peter, reading from the first chapter. Now suppose we'll read the first four verses. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here. Good to have Jared and Melissa. Amen, your guests tonight. Good to see you. God bless you. All of our guests, our friends, we're happy that you're here. Thank you for being with us here tonight. Amen. We have Kids Can for kids. We have Truth Youth Ministries for youth. And we actually have something for the adults here tonight. Amen. You're just stuck with me. Amen. But more than that, the anointed word of God. So we're looking tonight to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Hallelujah. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. And so we want to look tonight to the word of the Lord for these next few moments. I want to talk to you about something that's exceeding great. It's not just great. He said it's exceeding great. I mean, there's great things, but there are some things that exceed greatness. And that's what he's talking about here tonight. Amen. I like it. Peter, by now, he's been serving the Lord for a long, long time. Amen. He's been walking this way a lot of years. He's seen good things and he's seen bad things. He's been on the mountain and he's been through the valley. He's had friends and lost friends. He's seen a lot of things happen. But he's telling us here tonight, he said, but there's something that's exceeding great. He's still excited about it. My prayer often is, as I grow older, don't let me grow colder. Amen. Praise God. I want to stay on fire. How about you? Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. When my mom was a little perturbed with me, I could tell it. When everything was good, she called me Johnny or Babe. But if she ever said, Johnny Darryl, if that second name ever snuck in there, I was in trouble. Amen. It's very rare for Peter to use his name Simon. As a matter of fact, Simeon, as it is only used one other time in the New Testament. But he personally uses it here. You remember when he received the great revelation that Jesus was the Son of God, Hallelujah. And the Lord said, Simon Bar-Jonah. Amen. And called him by his full name. And then he pronounced blessing on him, gave him the keys of the kingdom. And boy, that was pretty hot stuff. And then just a few verses later, when Jesus says, now you got a revelation, I can start talking to you about some deeper things. Now I can start putting some meat on the bones. And as soon as he started talking about the crucifixion and this glory that was coming and his resurrection, Peter said, oh no, Lord, that's not ever going to happen to you. And then the Lord kind of called him by his name, Simon! Johnny Darrell! And he put him in his place. Amen. He said, you get behind me, Satan. You don't know what spirit you're of. And so he called him by that name. And so he don't use that name a lot. Because that's the true name that he knows when he's in trouble. But in his epistle, I think it's interesting that he starts it out by calling himself Simon Peter. And he begins by using that name that is rather unique. The only other time he used it in the New Testament is when the Bible talked, it was at the Jerusalem Council, Acts chapter 15, when Peter was given his testimony about how the Lord had called him to the household of Cornelius, and he opened the door of this gospel dispensation to the Gentiles. Amen. So it seems that when Peter uses that name, he's to the church at large, to the church as a whole. You see, it's interesting. Peter on the day of Pentecost, he said, for the promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he quoted Joel's testimony when he said the promise is to your children, all of you. Yes, but he didn't believe that. He meant all the Jews. Because it was 12 years before he went down to Cornelius' house. Out of time. And then God had to almost force him to go there. Amen. But he finally went. You see, folks, this is it's a difficult thing sometimes. This prejudice thing's not anything new. It's been around since there were more than two people. Been around a long time. It was very powerful in the early church. Jews didn't want anything to do with Gentiles. Gentiles didn't want anything to do with Jews. And so it was a very powerful force in the early church. But Simon, the door opener, the man with the keys. And then he calls himself a servant. The word here from the Greek is doulos. A doulos was more than a servant, he was a slave. There was a word for servant that was just a bond servant that could change. His future wasn't nearly as dire, but he was simply saying, I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. What he was saying is, I am a possession of God. God owns me. Lock, stock, and barrel. Everything that I am, he owns me. He possesses me. I am God's possession. Amen. Now, when you serve God like that, friend, you can have some of the same experiences Peter had. When you make up your mind, I belong to Jesus, every day, not just on Sunday and not just on Wednesday night, but I belong to Jesus 7 days a week, 24 hours of every day. I belong to Him. I am His possession. When he said, I am a doulos of God, he said, I don't have any rights. Well, we hear a lot about rights today, don't we? Everybody wants their rights, whether they have any or not. Amen. Let's get us a sign. Let's get out in the streets. Let's march and tell everybody about our rights. Let me tell you something. A child of God sold out to Jesus Christ doesn't have any rights. You know, if I could really understand this right, my feelings would never be hurt. Shake your head like this right here. Because if I really understood that I'm a slave of Jesus Christ, I don't have any rights. But somebody starts treating me like a servant. Somebody starts treating me like a slave, what happens? You know. Same thing happens to you. Huh? I'm not getting a whole lot of amens here, but we're preaching anyhow. Amen. Praise God. When you sell out to Jesus Christ, you're unquestioningly obedient. Amen. I don't have a will. It's the will of God. I mean, I don't tell him. He tells me. Amen. That's why some of these people that talk about faith and then think faith's something you use to boss God around. I worry about their motive. And I'm really not happy with their attitude. That you can tell God what to do. You got it all backwards, friend. That's why the Apostle Paul said, or Apostle Peter said, I'm a doulos. I'm a slave. He remembered that. Don't have any rights. I'm unquestioningly obedient to the Lord. I don't have any time of my own. I can't take any holiday. I heard about somebody one time took a vacation, said, where are you going? Said, nowhere. Amen. Just, why didn't you go to church? Well, we're on vacation. That didn't register. Has God ever taken a vacation from you? If he does, you're dead. Because in him we live and move and have our being. Amen. If he ever takes a vacation, your breath's gone. Your heartbeat stops. Amen. You need him every moment of every hour, every second. You can't live without him. Amen. And all of your time belongs to him. God doesn't take vacations from you. You shouldn't take vacations from God. We shouldn't do anything on vacation we don't do when we're not on vacation. We shouldn't wear things on vacation we don't wear when we're not on vacation. We shouldn't go places on vacation we don't go when we're not on vacation. We shouldn't talk any differently when we're on vacation than when we're not on vacation. There are not any holidays. Amen. Every day, it's the same. He said, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. And I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm the lowest and I'm the highest. All in one. An apostle simply means somebody that is sent forth. Peter says, I've been sent. Hallelujah. Amen. What was the old saying? They said, some are called and some are sent, and some just packed up and went. Amen. But that, you'll notice the difference right away, whether somebody just went or they've been sent. If you've been sent, you'll stay where you've been planted. If you just went, you'll just get discouraged and come home. And then there's a difference in an apostle spirit and the spirit of an imposter. Amen. And so the apostle said, I am the apostle of Jesus Christ. And then he writes to, and I love what he says here, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Hallelujah. Those that have obtained like precious faith with us. This is a very special a gift that has been given. You see, if a city wanted to honor a foreigner, they would give them all the rights of a citizen. And so Peter is saying, I'm writing to people that have, through no merit of their own, but by grace have been granted all of the rights of a Christian citizen, a citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen. You've been given everything that the Jews were given. You've been given everything that the apostles were given. You've been given everything that any Christian has ever been given. Let me tell you something about becoming a child of God. God doesn't have any second-class citizens in His church. God doesn't have any stepchildren in His church. Amen. God doesn't have any grandchildren in His church. He thinks they're all grand. Amen. Amen. I've heard people say, I'm a third-generation Pentecostal. Well, maybe you are, but you're a first-generation Christian. Because everybody, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. It doesn't matter what your mama believes. It doesn't matter what your grandma believes. It doesn't matter how much your grandpa talks in tongues. You got to get it for yourself. You must be born again. Everybody is first generation. Amen. I'll tell you, when the prodigal son came home, I love what the father said. He said, I want you to put the ring on his finger. Amen. That was a ring that stood for sonship. Amen. And for authority. Amen. That you're my son. Amen. And you can transact business on my behalf. He said, I want you to put the robe on shoulders. God's only got one kind of robes in His closet, and those are robes of righteousness. Hallelujah. God doesn't have goodwill robes in one section and king robes in another. He only has one kind of robe in His closet. When God crowns you and clothes you with His righteousness, He gives you the same thing that He gives everybody else. I've heard people say, well, you don't have the same Holy Ghost I got, but if you got it, you do. God doesn't make any inferior Holy Ghost. Nobody gets an inferior Holy Ghost. There's only one Holy Spirit, and God gives that same gift to everybody. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes, amen, it's how much of you the Holy Ghost has. How much control does the Spirit have in your life? How much self is on the throne, or how much of God is on the throne? That's what determines the difference. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Be like the girl that got real unhappy. Amen. And she was threatening another sister. And the sister said, I thought you had the Holy Ghost. She said, you step out here, I'll show you how much Holy Ghost I got. Amen. Well, I kind of been there. I don't know if any of you have. And then the Lord had to remind me. I was driving down the freeway, 70 miles an hour, and a truck driver ran me off the road. And I hit the ditch doing 70 miles an hour in a little Dodge Caravan. And I was bouncing every direction, trying to dodge culverts and all kinds of stuff. And by the grace and the mercy of God, I finally got slowed down and got back on the freeway. And I want you to know, I put it in passing gear. I was after him. I was. And the Holy Ghost said, what you going to do when you get there? Nothing. And I just backed off and let it blow over. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's when you know it's real. Amen. Another truck driver ran me off into snowbank. Got real wild for a little while. And boy, I got back on the road and I was ready for some vengeance. Same sweet spirit said, what you going to do, son? I said, nothing, Lord. I'm going to let it go. Amen. I really want to do something real bad, but I don't belong to me anymore. Amen. That the Holy Ghost has to get a hold of us, folks. Amen. And you know you're a child of God when He makes that kind of a difference in your life. Amen. Anybody ever had a similar experience? Amen. Praise God. When the Holy Ghost stepped in and wouldn't let you do what you normally would have done, and you say, oh, thank God, I know I got the Holy Ghost. Hell, I know what I would have done before, and I know what I did now. Hallelujah. Amen. That's when you know there's something real about this salvation. It said, we've obtained like precious faith, the same as every other Christian. Amen. Sometimes we're not real good witnesses because we get in the flesh. We got to guard against that, folks. The Bible said, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not out here fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Hello. But every now and then, if we won't get off in the flesh, amen, we get our feelings hurt. Amen. We puff up a little bit. We go around tripping over our bottom lip. Amen. But we got to get prayed through. Let it all blow over. Amen. No, I'm a child of God. I'm not going to act like that. That's the way I used to act. That's the way I used to be. And I'm awfully miserable when I live that way. I feel real bad when I let myself get into that condition. So I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to rise above this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I'm not going to carry any grudge. I'm not going to get bitter over anything. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and praise the Lord anyhow. But the devil says, you know what they said about you? Yes, I do. But it wasn't true. Hallelujah. Amen. If it's not true, what difference does it make? If it is true, I need to change it, make it better, and get on with life. Praise God. Is that all right? I'm talking about being a Christian here tonight. A real Christian. Amen. The kind of Christian the world needs to see. Amen. Praise God. So he said that we've received this, obtained this like precious faith through the righteousness of God, of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where it came from. You didn't get this out of Post Toasties. Amen. Amen. It didn't come out of a Cracker Jack box. Amen. If you got this, it's from Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the one that stood up to his accusers and was able to face them without becoming vile, without any condemnation coming out of his mouth. When they had beaten him with stripes, when they crowned him with thorns and spit on him and slapped him, and all the things they'd done to him, he could pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when he gnashed on Stephen like a bunch of rabid dogs and picked up stones and began to pelt him to death with stones, he lifted up his face to heaven and said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. I'm telling you, friend, that's Holy Ghost. You got to have something more than what most people have to pray that kind of a prayer. But it reached out and got a hold of the heart of a young man called Saul of Tarsus. And he couldn't get away from it. It haunted his dreams. Amen. Everywhere he went, that spirit of Stephen, the voice of his prayer, that glowing face filled with holiness, compassion, mercy, and love. And he couldn't get away from that until it rode to Damascus. When that same Lord knocked him to the ground, he looked up and he said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Amen. And Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle, the great missionary that took this gospel to most of the world of his time. Amen. I'm just telling you, friend, you don't get this on your own. You can't manufacture it. You can't make it up. You can't imitate it. You can't just have some kind of an imitation. But this is the real thing. It's for the righteousness of God. And that's the only place it can come from. Right into the church, he said, grace and peace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Amen. Do you know how you get peace? Amen. You know God. I saw a sign years ago, and it, when you see it written, it makes more sense. It said, know God, K-N-O-W, know peace, K-N-O-W. Know God, N-O-W. No peace, you know. Amen. So if you know God, then you're going to know peace. But if you have no God, then you'll have no peace. It's just that simple. Because God is the author. He's the prince of peace. Amen. He imparts peace to us. The more God you know, the more peace you have. Amen. The better you know God, amen, the more grace you have. Now, what is grace? Grace is an amazing word. To me, it's just simply divine enablement. God enables you. Whatever you need to do, God gives you grace. God enables you. Hallelujah. Whatever you're facing, God enables you. If you're in a den of lions, God enables you. If you're in a fiery furnace, God enables you. If you're facing whatever enemy of Goliath, God enables you. That's what grace is. It becomes whatever you need. Whatever situation you're in. Amen. That's what grace is. And you want to know grace? It comes through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The more you know about Jesus, the more you're going to know grace. The more you know Jesus, the more you're going to know peace. That's what Peter was praying for the church. He said that peace and grace be multiplied. And the way it's multiplied is through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think often of the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, oh, that I might know him. Paul, I thought you already did. Oh, I do, but I want to know him more. Now listen, he said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. I don't think I've ever prayed that prayer, and I'm not sure I ever want to. Paul said, I want to know him in suffering. I don't like to suffer. But he got to the place, he said, and that he'd already done some suffering. And he said, I've noticed that the more I suffer, the more grace I have. The more peace I have. Amen. And so therefore, just let me know you in the fellowship of your suffering. I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. And he did. I believe that at Lystra, when they stoned Paul, I believe that he was dead. I believe he was caught up to that third heaven. Where he saw things, he said, it's not lawful for me to utter. And then after a while, the Holy Ghost said, all right, I'm going to show you the power of resurrection. And he sent him right back to his body. And his hands reached out and started pushing rocks aside. And he stood up, amen, bruised and hurting and bleeding, and went right into the city. And he strengthened the church of God that he just founded in the city of Lystra. And a young man by Timothy saw that, said that testimony. And he thought, my, what a man of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just simply saying to us tonight, to know him is the greatest thing in all of this world. Amen. Peter said, I'm praying that you will know him according to his divine power. Amen. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You want to know what life is? Know Jesus Christ. He said, I am the life. I remember when I was in high school, and back in the hippie days, and they were saying, you got to experiment. You got to go out and try life. Amen. What they were saying was, go ahead and get drunk. Go ahead and experiment. My teachers, go ahead and experiment with drugs. Go ahead and experiment with sex. Get out there in the world, enjoy it. Experience life. That's not life. That's death. That's death. That's death. Amen. You want to know life? Know Jesus Christ. You want to be alive? Know Him. Hallelujah. And the more you know Him, the more alive you will be. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to just tell you tonight, if you haven't tried it, you're not missing anything in this old world. There's nothing in this world worth living for. It only leaves you empty and longing for more. He's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, this is life. Praise God. This is life. Praise God. This is what life is. According to His divine power, hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Godliness. Amen. Through the knowledge, there it is again, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You got a calling tonight. First of all, you've got a calling to courage. It takes courage to live for God. I said it takes courage to live for God. It takes courage to stand up and be different. It takes courage to forgive. Amen. Whenever fiber of your being doesn't want to forgive, and you forgive anyway. It not only takes courage, it takes the grace of God. But He'll help you do it. If you determine you want to forgive somebody, heard people say, I can't forgive. Yes, you can. He's going to enable you to do it. Grace is going to step in and help you to do it. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. No, you won't. You're right. You won't forget. You'll still remember. But it's the difference in a wound and a scar. Amen. If I have a wound and I keep picking it and scratching it and getting corruption in it and it gets infected, you know, that thing's going, I can't forget it. It's right there. And it hurts and it bothers me. And it possesses me. And it's all I think about. But you know, I've got some scars on my body. And when I see those scars, I remember what happened. Most of them, I remember what happened. I can tell you about it. I got one on my arm here where I was about 7 years old up in an apricot tree and trying to get apricots. I slipped and fell and ripped my arm open on a branch or a limb of that tree. And I still got the scar. But you know what? It don't hurt anymore. It's just a scar. I can tell you a story, but it's just a scar. Amen. That's what happens when you forgive. It just becomes a scar. There's no more pain. There's no infection. There is no wound. It's all healed over. Amen. And the grace of God enables us to have the courage to forgive. It takes courage to be a man of God. It takes courage to be a woman of God. You can't make it on your own. Amen. It takes courage when others are doing wrong and you stand up and do right. And they call you names and they laugh at you. And they talk behind your back. Amen. But when they need a question, they come knocking on your door. Amen. Whenever tragedy comes in their life, they give you a phone call. Amen. Because they know there's something different in your life. And you have something they just don't have. Amen. The courage. He said, I'm calling you to glory, to courage, and I'm calling you to virtue. God has called us to excellence. Again, and could I just say it one more time? I know you've heard it lots of times, and I'm just going to say it this one more time. Then after this, probably one more time. Then after that, probably one more time. Amen. But I don't like when to say, well, brother, that's just the way I am. God did not call you to stay the same. God did not call you to excuse yourself and your sinfulness and your coarseness, amen, and your hurtfulness in the name of that's the way I am. God called you to excellence. He called you to change situations in your life. You should not be the same today as you were last week, as you were last year. Amen. You ought to be changing. You ought to be better. Amen. If you hurt people with your words, you need to change your words. If you hurt people with your attitude, you need to change your attitude. Don't say that's just the way I am. God called you to excellence. Grow up. Amen. There's four or five got amens there. The rest of you is just looking pretty serious. I wasn't talking to anybody. I was just talking. I'm like the little boy come home and he said, "Woo, Daddy," said, "I like that story that you told the church." He said, "Was that the truth or was you just preaching?" Amen. Well, it was the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God help us. He's called us to courage. And he's called us to excellence. Amen. And then, hastening on, amen, he said, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. God has given us not just great promises, he said exceeding great and precious. And precious promises. That's what God has given to us tonight. That you might be partakers of the divine nature. Amen. Partakers of the divine nature. Let me tell you something. When God gave you the Holy Ghost, he gave you a new you. I've heard people say, "I don't think people can change like that." You're right. The only way you can do it is to become a new creation. A new creation. Hallelujah. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you become a new creation. You become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Amen. And Paul went on to say, he said, the things I used to love, now I hate. The things I used to hate, now I love. He just changed me from the inside out. Amen. Brother Holly used to say, my man loved I.W. Harper Hoots, whatever that is. Must be something like Wild Turkey or Jim Beam or one of those fellas. Amen. Praise God. And that's what you used to love. But I'm telling you, when you get the Holy Ghost, he'll take that away from you and you'll fall in love with that new wine. Hallelujah. Just give me more of the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. When he said be filled, he means continually. That's the context of the verb. It's always being filled, constantly coming down, filling you up. It's not just doesn't happen one time. It's not come down to the altar, God fill me with the Holy Ghost. But it's every Monday morning getting up, God fill me with the Holy Ghost. Tuesday, God fill me with the Holy Ghost. Wednesday, God fill me with the Holy Ghost. Have a day all day long, God fill me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're like the fellow praying in the prayer room. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. And his neighbor said, "Don't do it, God. He leaks." That's why you gotta be continually filled with the Holy Ghost, cause you leak. All of us got leaks. Amen. So we got to stay filled. Got to keep filling. Amen. With the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But we become partakers of the divine nature. Amen. Hallelujah. You have become like Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Ghost means. It's the Spirit that was in Christ dwelling also in you. The same Spirit that made Jesus, Jesus, makes you a child of God. Yes, it does. It's the exact same Spirit. And he said, if the Spirit that was in Christ dwells also in you, it's going to quicken your mortal body. It's going to make you alive. Hallelujah. That's why you're not like everybody else. You can't get the Holy Ghost and just keep being like you've always been. Amen. If you do, it'll just die. It'll all leak out. Amen. But you get the Holy Ghost and you walk in the Spirit, and you'll not be the same person that you were before. Amen. God's called us to that. God has called us to that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He said that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through us. Amen. Isn't that wonderful that God can deliver us out of our sins? And we're not like we used to be. Praise God. Where I used to go before, I don't go there anymore. I found a better way. I found a better way. Amen. My speech has changed. I don't talk like I used to talk because I found a better way. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? God, I'm so thankful that your Holy Spirit changes an individual. And things I used to say, when I say that now, I don't feel good anymore. You can take a pig and you can scrub him till he's and it'll have a spot on it, and you can tie ribbons on his ears and ribbons around his neck and baptize him in Chanel 127. But I'm going to tell you what, as and you can call him Fido, whatever you want to call him, but as soon as he gets outside, he's going to look for the stinkiest, muddiest, ugliest, filthiest puddle he can find. He's going to dive in snout first. He's going to sling mud in every direction. And he's going to squeal with delight because he's in hog heaven. Because he's a pig. And that's just what pigs do. It's his nature. But you can take a little lamb and let the lamb fall into that same mud puddle. And he'll cry, and he'll bleat, and he'll cry out for somebody, come and get me out of this mess. I don't like this. This is not who I am. This is not what I am. Because his nature is not the same. Amen. And I'll tell you what, that's what happens to that's how you know this Holy Ghost business is real, folks. Amen. The things that you used to enjoy before you met Jesus Christ, when you were a sinner, you can still do those things. But when you do those things, there's a misery on the inside of you. There's something that cries out on the inside of you and says, I don't belong here anymore. I can do this, but I'm miserable. Somebody, come and get me out of this mess. That's how you know. It's real. Praise God. It's not that you can't do it. It's just that you're miserable when you do. Because your nature's changed. You're not the same person you used to be. You have a different spirit now. You're a partaker of the divine nature. and the righteousness of God dwells in you by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Exceedingly great. This is, folks, this is not just great, but it's exceeding great. What God has done for us, it's not just great. It's exceeding great. It's greater than anything that you can imagine. Amen. I'm going to tell you something about God. He will always exceed your expectations. What you're expecting, He's going to do more. When Martha and Mary called Jesus and said, "Come and heal our brother, he's sick." By the time Jesus got there, he'd been dead and buried for 4 days. They were heartbroken. But he had a reason for it. He said, "I'm going to exceed your expectations. You thought I was just going to come and heal Lazarus. No, 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 no. I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to resurrect him." Hallelujah. I'm going to call him back from regions beyond. I'm going to make that flesh that's been cold for 4 days live again. Those lungs that haven't breathed, I'm going to put breath in them. The blood that has not flowed through those veins, I'm going to make it flow again. The light of life that's escaped his eyes, I'm going to put it back again. The laughter that was in his soul, I'm going to restore it. I'm going to show you I'm more than just a healer of bodies. I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. God exceeds our expectations. He doesn't just do what you think He can do. He does more. That's why He lets you get into situations you don't want to get into, because you already know how He can do that. But He said, "Let me show you what else I can do." Amen. He exceeds expectations. Praise the Lord. Isn't He good? Somebody need the power of God in your life tonight. Do you need the power of God in your life tonight? You know that you need change. You're just not happy. Things are not right. And you know that they're not right. And you're looking for a better way. This is it. Amen. Come and repent of your sin. Ask God to forgive you. Amen. Tell God you're through sinning. "God, I don't want to follow that way anymore. It sure has led me to a lot of unhappiness. It's led me to nothing but trouble and loss. Amen. Nothing but pain and sorrow. God, I'm sorry. I don't want to walk that path anymore. I want to be a partaker of the divine nature. Amen. I want to learn about you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on tonight. There's an altar here where you can change your life. You can change your life tonight. You can leave here a brand new individual with peace that passes understanding, unspeakable joy. Amen. And the righteousness of God to direct your paths. Hallelujah. Does that sound good to somebody tonight? My, what an offer. My, what an offer. That's the best news that I can give you tonight. And I know it's real because it happened to me. Praise God. Amen. Let's find a place to pray here tonight. Let's come and give God thanks. We've been called to courage. And we've been called to excellence. God, I haven't always been excellent, but I'm going to do better. Starting right now. If you'll forgive me that I've messed up, I'm going to start right now. And by grace, if you'll just give me enablement, if you'll just give me the power that I need, I'm going to do better tomorrow. Amen, than I did today. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to talk better. I'm going to have a better attitude. I'm going to have a kind spirit. I'm not going to be hard to get along with. I'm not going to hurt people's feelings. I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be generous. Amen. I'm going to do right things. I'm going to be like Jesus tonight. Forgive me. Help me to be like Jesus. Help me, Lord, to be more like you, Jesus. Help me to be more like you, Jesus. Less of me, more of you. Less and less and less of me. More and more and more of you. Oh, that's the key to my peace and my happiness.